How's everyone doing? You guys awake? All right, all right. Man, what a beautiful day out there, huh? Man, can't wait to get out there and experience that. I mean, don't get to wear short sleeve shirts very often in Michigan, so it's nice to be able to put one on this morning. Anyways, hey, it's great to be here with you. If you're visiting here with us this morning, thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully this service will minister to you, be a blessing to you. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dive into our message here this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're here with us. Thank you for Lauren's testimony and just her experience of learning to trust in you. That's something we can all grow in, is just trusting you, God, no matter what's going on in our lives. We invite you here this morning to be with us, to speak to us. Lord, each of us here this morning has something different that we're dealing with, had a different type of week. I have different things facing us this coming week. Lord, I just pray that you'd meet us right where we're at. We're so thankful for you and all that you've done for us. And we offer this time up to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. So Buckskin Gulch, Utah, is a dangerous place. Backpacker Magazine rates it one of America's 10 most dangerous hikes. Here's how they describe it. If you can imagine an amazing 13-mile sculpture garden so deeply entrenched in the earth that you can barely see the sky, well, that's just the beginning. Be prepared to wade through cold, stagnant pools of water or mud that range from ankle to neck deep, flash floods, cold temperatures, as the sun does not reach you very well, and quicksand. This is an adventure not meant for the weak-willed. Storms that are located more than 50 miles away can send 100-foot waterfalls into the canyons, engulfing you in the waves of pressure. The overall hike stretches for a good 20 miles and would generally take 3 to 4 days. It's highly recommended to bring at least 6 feet of rope and an extra pair of clothes. Now, no one's died here yet, but the odds mount every time a dark cloud crosses the sky. This tortuously twisting sandstone bottleneck is the longest, deepest slot canyon in the Southwest and probably in the world. The extended exposure to flash flood danger makes Buckskin one of the country's most dangerous slots. Rarely more than 10 feet wide, an Erie corridor is 400 feet deep at its junction with the Paria River. Most chilling, the entire length of sandstone wall is virtually insurmountable, except for a single escape hatch at the middle route, about 8 miles in. Should thunderstorm-bloated floodwaters come charging down the tunnel, you're no better than a bug in a fire hose. Waters here can swell from 0 to 20 feet deep in mere minutes. Now, excuse me for my voice change there. Holy cow. Going through puberty again. I don't want to go through that again. I got three kids going through it right now. That's enough. Listen, I had the thrill of hiking this canyon several years ago with a couple of buddies of mine. And I'll be honest, I was a little scared at first. Sure, I was excited about the challenge, but the thought of entering this unknown valley also caused my mind and my heart to race a little bit, right? As I thought about the risks of the flash flooding and the no way out scenario. Well, I'm happy to say that I survived. And actually, not only did I survive, I came alive as I got lost in the adventure and the beauty of this place. And I encountered God there too, and in a very unique and unforgettable way. Buckskin Gulch is a dangerous place, but if equipped with the right information, proper tools, support, guidance, there's a lot of beauty in life to be found there. And the same is true in our lives. Life can be scary and challenging at times. But if we have the proper tools, the support and guidance, it is possible to navigate even the most difficult situations. And yes, it's even possible to discover life and beauty in those places. So how do we do it? How do we avoid getting trapped and overwhelmed in the valley? How do we find life in these places? Psalm 23 shows us the way. Now, we've been walking through this incredible passage together, covering one verse each week. Today, we're going to continue the journey with verse 4. Let's read it together. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Such a powerful, powerful scripture. Psalm 23 is one of the most beloved and recited and referenced Bible passages. But verse 4 in particular is often singled out by itself. For example, popular rap artists Tupac Shakur, Coolio, and Kanye West, rock musicians Marilyn Manson, Megadeth. Anyone still listen to Megadeth here? I'm just kidding. Maybe you do. If you do, more power to you. Specifically, all of these guys, they reference verse 4 in their music. Many other musicians do so as well. Thank you. I appreciate that. I think my blood sugar's acting up a little bit this morning. I'm feeling a little shaky. My goodness. All right. So this thing's referenced a lot. A lot of other musicians. Verse 4 also makes a guest appearance in an episode of one of my all-time favorite TV shows, Lost. The title, you like that? Isn't that awesome show? The title of the episode, they need to invent more shows like that. You know, I'm waiting. I am waiting, man. I'm like, when are they going to create something else this good? I'm still waiting for it. All right, so anyways, side note. The title of the episode was Psalm 23. Psalm 23 even served as the title of a Twilight Zone episode. You get the point. There are countless examples of this in our culture. So why is this verse so popular? Well, because pretty much everyone can relate to the experience of walking through the valley of the shadow of death, or as a lot of translations call it, the darkest valleys. Everyone's been there. How about you? Are you walking through some kind of valley right now? Chances are pretty good that you are. And if not, you've been there, and you will be there again. Most of the valleys we travel through have to do things with things like this, our health. Am I going to recover from this sickness or this disease? Friendship, how am I going to resolve this conflict? How am I going to deal with this betrayal that I feel? Love and loneliness. Will I ever find my soulmate? Will I ever find the one? Marriage, how am I supposed to meet all my spouse's needs? Is this marriage going to survive? Parenting, are my kids going to be okay? Will they find their way? Will they choose a good path for their lives? School, how am I going to survive this test, this class? Work, how am I supposed to get along with these people? Is this the right job for me? What am I going to do now that my dream job hasn't come to fruition? How about finances? How am I going to pay for this? How did this get busted and how are we going to replace it? Decisions, what's the best option of these 10 different options? Or failure and shame, what am I going to do now that I haven't made the cut? How am I going to get out of this hole I've gotten myself into? You get the idea? Each of us walk through some kind of valley almost every day. Some valleys are wide where the air is easier to breathe, and some are suffocatingly narrow like Buckskin Gulch. Some valleys are short and some are long. In other words, some of us are facing pestering, annoying trials, while others of us are facing more challenging circumstances. Still others are facing extremely difficult situations. Each of us, each of our valley experiences are unique and different. But all of them share something in common. They're valuable and they are significant and they need to be handled with care. How we choose to navigate them profoundly shapes the trajectory of our lives and the kind of people that we become. So, how do we navigate the valleys that we face? Well, there are several approaches that we can take. I want to suggest at least three different approaches that a lot of people take. One option is to walk through the valleys of our lives without God, to go solo, try to handle things on our own. This is the just suck it up and get tough mindset. For this person, Psalm 23:4 might read like this. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because I've got this. This is a common approach that a lot of people take, right? For this person, God isn't real and doesn't exist, or maybe he does exist, but he doesn't really care about what's going on in my life, and he's certainly not dependable. Interestingly, a lot of references to Psalm 23:4 in pop culture leave out the second part of the verse. Listen to Professor Mark Reconce, his observation about the use of this verse in rap music. Coolio's song Gangsta's Paradise, Tupac Shakur's So Many Tears, and Kanye West's Jesus Walks refer to the valley of the shadow of death to signify the dangers of life on inner city streets. While Coolio rejects the hope present in the biblical text, as does Tupac, West holds out that the shepherd, Jesus, might be able to help him, though he is not nearly as optimistic as the biblical writer. All three rappers have essentially turned the biblical psalm of trust into one of lament and sadness. Although Coolio says prayers in the streetlight, he ultimately relies on himself, not God, for any potential liberation. This shift is indicative of American individualism and self-reliance. Now, while there's definitely value in being tough-minded and learning to be independent, we need something more than self-reliance to navigate the valleys we face and walk into the kind of life that God has for us. Each of us eventually comes to the end of our own resources. We didn't create ourselves, and in the end, we can't save ourselves. Our culture has it backwards. God is real. He does exist. He is dependable. And in his kingdom, self-reliance is not the answer. And dependency on him is a good thing. One of my favorite passages on this is Matthew 16:24-26 in the Message. I love the title of the section this falls under in the Message. It says, "You're not in the driver's seat." Let me read it to you. "Then Jesus went to work on his disciples. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self." And listen how Paul handled one of his valleys. "Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, 'My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness.' So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." A second option is to walk through the valleys of life with God, but not in a way that necessarily changes us. In this approach, we call on God when it's convenient or we're in a jam, we're dealing with an emergency situation. For this person, Psalm 23:4 might read like this. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Sort of. For this person, God is real and he exists, but he serves kind of like a good luck charm, like a lucky rabbit's foot. Does anybody carry those around anymore? Does anyone even know what that is? Okay, it was just a weird cultural thing when I was a kid, the lucky rabbit's foot. I don't know who invented that or came up with that, but it's really weird. Anyways, side note. Or perhaps this person, we'll use more of a modern analogy, treats God kind of like a first aid kit. You know, we travel through life. We keep him around, but we only access him when we're in trouble, you know, and things aren't going our way. Otherwise, we don't really think about him a whole bunch. So this person struggles with Martha syndrome. You guys all remember Martha, right? Jesus' friend in the Bible. Here, let's read this passage. "As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come up and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." You see, Martha was too busy and distracted to be with the Lord, and she missed out on some joy and peace because of it. Don't feel bad if you can relate. We've probably all been in this place, right? I know I have been. And we need to give this person at least some credit for sort of being God. At least there's good intentions here. They do believe in God. The problem is that they've become too preoccupied and lost in the details of their life to notice him, so the Lord simply becomes an accessory. A third approach is to walk through the valleys of life with God as a close companion and friend. Now, this person, they fully, 100% embrace Psalm 23:4 as is. Let's read it again. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now, for this person, God is a real person who loves them and is with them through thick and thin. Okay, I want you to take a second. I want you to think about the people who've had the most positive impact on your life. I'm talking about people who have loved you well, encouraged you, brought the best out in you. All right, this may be a family member, a coworker, a teacher, a coach. Your spouse, somebody. Do you have those people in mind? Do you have them? Hopefully there's more than one, at least a few. All right, I want you to hear this loud and clear. God is closer to you and has been more supportive of you than all these people combined by a long shot. The love you've experienced from the best people in your life is just a tiny reflection of God's love for you. Okay, now I want you to do something else. Ready? All right, let's take a couple of deep breaths together. Ready? Well, that feels good. Let's do another one. Really deep, guys. Come on, I'm not seeing a lot of you guys aren't breathing. You can't live if you don't breathe. Take one more. Okay, that feels really good. Well, according to Psalm 139, God was there with you and me even before we took our first breath. And guess what? He's sustaining your life and my life this very moment. Nobody else can do that for you. Nobody. He breathed life into you. The person who embraces Psalm 23:4 fully as it is doesn't treat God like a good luck charm or a first aid kit. God to them is someone they cling to as if their life depended on it. Remember Buckskin Gulch that we started with? Well, here's the survival plan according to Backpacker Magazine, how you survive this place. All right, let me read it to you. It's impossible to know for sure where or when storms may strike, but hedge your bets by checking weather updates. Should you hear water thundering upon you, try to scramble up or out. Not an easy thing to do. This is advised by Rich Carlson of the American Canyoneering Association. It's surprising how many little ledges and ripples you can climb when your life depends on it. You go out here today, find a cliff and experiment with that. Failing that, secure yourself to something. Hikers in other canyons have survived by clinging to debris wedged between the walls. What does the person who fully embraces Psalm 23:4 do when they're in a difficult valley? They cling to God. They depend on him, and they find security there no matter what life brings their way. But what do we do if we can't even do that? And we've lost the strength to cling to God. One of the lessons I learned during this hike when I went through Buckskin Gulch with my buddies is that God clings to us even when we don't have the strength or we fail to cling to him. He is our Savior. And we can rest in the fact that his central promise is to be with us. He will not let go. Jesus said this, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Paul echoed this truth when he said, "None of this fazes us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us." So, which approach best describes your life when you're facing a valley? "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because I've got this. For you are with me," sort of. "Or for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." So practically speaking, how can we learn to be with God and experience his presence in the valleys of our lives? What does that look like? Let me suggest a couple of things that we can do. First of all, don't wait until you hit a valley. Don't wait till you hit a valley to begin walking with God and experiencing his presence in your life. Learn to walk with him in every season. Preparation and practice out of the valley better equips us for the valley. Second, we need to make a moment-by-moment conscious choice to trust in the goodness of God and believe the truth that he can redeem anything that's happened to us, anything that we've suffered from, anything that we've failed at. He can redeem all of it. He's that good. One of the first verses that I memorized, actually was the very first verse that I memorized when I was first introduced to the Bible around 12, 13 years old, was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." That's what he does when we trust in him. Third, with trust in place, we can now build the habit of turning our thoughts to him throughout the day. How do we do this? Start by memorizing Psalm 16:8. This is a great verse. "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken." I would encourage you to write this verse down on a note card, piece of paper, I don't care, whatever it is, and post it up somewhere. And post up some other scriptures that remind you of God's presence with you. Wherever you're going to see them, put them up on your bathroom mirror, on your fridge, above your kitchen sink, in your car, on the dashboard, whatever it takes, just do that. And then use that as inspiration to pray, to turn to God in prayer. It doesn't have to be complicated. It can be a simple prayer. The scripture tells us to pray without ceasing in Thessalonians. Recently, my wife, who has a phone here? Pull out your phone if you got one. You got one? Pull it out. Hold it up real high. All right? Looks like everybody has a phone. So let me tell you one thing you can do, one way you can use this tool to practice what we're talking about here. Set an alarm on here to remind you to turn your mind to God. My wife's been doing this recently. She set an alarm for every hour of the day, and it's her Remember God alarm. Now, sometimes the kids will joke whether it's time to remember God, Mom, you know, when it goes off, that kind of thing. But it's really a practical way that we can turn our minds to God, you know. A missionary by the name of Frank Lebach, he determined that he was a missionary to, the Philippines in the 1930s. He determined to take 1 second out of every minute and turn his mind to God. And once he did that, he describes how his ministry and his life just was transformed radically. He went on to be extremely influential, impact not only on the ministry front, but impact countries. But he said that was the key thing that enabled him to do that. So maybe you're somewhere between Frank and Sherry or whatever works for you, but set an alarm, something that helps you, remind you to turn your thoughts to God. One thing you can do also, if you don't do it already, is just wear a cross, all right? Nothing magical about wearing a cross, but it is helpful. Sometimes I find myself when I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm worried about something. I remember what Jesus did for me. I remember that he died for whatever I'm struggling with and that he can redeem it all. It's one tool that helps me to turn my thoughts to God. So hang one up on your neck, on your wall, in your car, whatever it takes. The cross is the ultimate reminder that God is good. He understands what it's like to struggle in the valley, and he is with us to help us walk through our valleys. I love David Crowder's song. We kind of played it during the entrance here and his perspective on this. Let me read it to you. We'll close with this. Life is full of light and shadow. Oh, the joy and oh, the sorrow. Oh, the sorrow. And yet will he bring dark to light. And yet will he bring day from night. When shadows fall on us, we will not fear. We will remember. When darkness falls on us, we will not fear. We will remember. When all seems lost, when we're thrown and we're tossed, we remember the cost. We rest in him, shadow of the cross. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your love and grace. Thank you that we can rest in it. Lord, no matter what shadows we're dealing with, what dark valleys we're treading through, thank you that the shadow of the cross is greater than all of it. Lord, we bless you, praise you. Thank you for your love and grace. May it inspire us, Lord, to give everything we've got, to love you back, to love the people around us back because of what you've done for us, God. Lord, help us. I know some of us, so many of us here are dealing with different trials and challenges. God, would you reveal yourself to us in the middle of those things? Would you help us not to forget that you are with us and that you're clinging to us, even when we don't have the strength to cling to you? Thank you, Lord, for the truth of this scripture. Help us to go back to it. Get it into our lives, Lord. Help us to walk with you. Thank you, Lord, for your promise of peace and joy, even in the midst of life's most difficult situations. We bless you. We praise you, God. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.